sin brings forth death. We don't believe these things. And that's why we're sick and afflicted. And somebody said, well, gee, I don't, some guy, he's sitting here saying, I don't believe this stuff. I've sinned all kinds of ways. I mean, I've been on drugs. I've smoked. I've drank. I've had sex with every woman I wanted to. And I'm 30 years old. And I ain't never been sick. You better be grateful that God's merciful. That's all I got to say. Because after today, if you've heard me teach these things and you walk out here and you continue to live in that, I'm going to guarantee within a year you're going to be dead. See, God brings people here to hear His truth. And He heals people to confirm what I'm teaching is the truth. And then if they go out and say, laugh at me. I've had some of them do that. And then, in fact, I'll tell you a real one didn't take that long. I led a boy to Jesus down here at DFW Airport here a while back. 18 years old. His daddy was in the car with him today. I led him to Jesus. I told him, I said, son, you need to find some new friends now. His daddy said, yes, Thurman, he's been running around some boys that do drugs. I said, son, you're a new creature. You need to find some new friends. I said, if you don't, you'll wind up dead. I said, you're a new creature. You got to stop sinning now. It wasn't 6 months. 6 months. His daddy called me on Saturday morning one morning and said, Thurman, my son's in Grapevine down here in the hospital. He went out last night and done drugs with some friends, and he didn't quite make it to the house, and he passed out in the front yard, and it was down about 30 degrees, 28 degrees, whatever, and said he's got hypothermia, and the doctors say he ain't going to make it. He said, will you come down here and pray for him? I said, sure. I jumped in my car, run down there, and I walked in, and the whole family's there. They've called in the whole family. They think the boy's going to die, 18 or 19 years old. I walk up there, and here he sits. He can't talk, nothing. Can't move. I said, son, I told you what God is going to do to you if you didn't straighten your act up. I said, now then, I want to know, do you want to live or die? I said, if you want to live, bat your eye. He could bat his eyes. I said, okay, God is merciful. I told you to quit playing with them friends with them drugs or you're going to die. I said, you didn't heed my warning. I said, now God's going to give you one more chance. I said, if you promise him you'll repent and find some new friends and stop doing drugs, will you bat your eyes? Man, he started batting him eyes again. In other words, I'll do it. I said, okay. I reached over and laid my hands on him. I said, devil, you've missed him. You've lost him. I said, and the boy's repented. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you devils to come out of you. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I turned. I said, he'll get well. I turned to walk off, and one of the aunts come to me, and she walked up to me, and she said, you're the most uncompassionate man I ever seen in my life. I said, I didn't tell her, but I thought about what Dave said to me several times. He said, Thurman, you would have never passed your pastoral care class in college. And I probably wouldn't have. But I know what it takes to get people healed. Amen. I walked out there, and I said, that boy will get well, I guarantee. And I just walked off. I got home. 1 hour later, his daddy called me and said, Thurman, my son's just been released from Grapevine Hospital. He's perfectly well. Now, do we serve an awesome Jesus? He don't put up with no nonsense. He's a God that demands holiness. And when we don't do what he says, he makes us sick. But this prophet said, Micah said, if you return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he has said, hearken, O people, every one of you, 29 and 30. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. They went to war. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put none of you on your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now see, he wants to look just like a normal soldier. He don't want nobody to know who he is. He wants the other king dressed up or they'll think he's the king. Okay. He's just a really nice guy, 31, 32. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that had ruled over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. In other words, look for the king. Kill Ahab. He's the one we come after. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight after him. And Jehoshaphat cried out, 33 and 34. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And then this old lone boy out here, this certain man, drew a bow at a venture and turned it loose. And it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harnesses in his armor and where the driver of his chariot, turn your hand and carry me out of the host. I am wounded. Now that here he is, who directed that arrow? Here's an old boy, just reached over and get an arrow, puts it in there and just at random says, and there goes, right in through the crack in his armor, right into his heart. What do you think the chances of that happening are? Impossible. But when God is directing that arrow, it'll hit its mark every time. And verse 35 and 36. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and he died at evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his own city and every man to his own country. 37 and 38. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed a chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spoke. Does it do good? Does it pay good dividends to make God angry? Not if you want to live a long time. This cost this man his life. Now then, let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I want to show you some things. We get over in the new covenant. God give us some new power. Mark 3, 14 and 15. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Now, originally in the beginning, God only ordained 12. But today he's ordained the church. And that's you and me. We're supposed to go forth and to preach his word. Now, somebody said, well, I'll leave that to the preacher. Well, that's not what God said in his word. You and me are to be out preaching and proclaiming his word. Every one of us. That's our job. But he says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. See, this is the power you have. This power is in you. You have the power to heal the sick. You have the power to cast out devils. Now, if you came here looking for healing, yes, I will have to say, God has anointed me with a special gift to heal his people. He has given me this gift. And many people come to this ministry and get healed. And that's why you that are here today are here, because somebody else in your family or somewhere has been healed, or you've heard about us and you have a sickness and you come and you want to be healed. And that's only good. But the healing power is in you. Whenever I do pray for you after a while, here's the way it works. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit's already in you. And you've got a pipe between the Holy Spirit and your physical body. Now, if that pipe looks like this, and you can see through it, and it's clean, you're not sick. But if that pipe is stopped up with junk, which is sin, then the healing power of Jesus can't get through. But when you repent of your sins, there's a Roto-Rooter run through your pipe, and it cleans it out. Now then, when you're touched in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost will flow right through that, and it'll start your healing process. Some of you will get healed instantly. Some of you will get healed in a few minutes. Some of you will get healed tomorrow. Some of you will wake up next week and you'll be healed. And some of you may be a month or whatever. Who knows? Like the little girl that I was telling you about in Ballinger a while ago. I prayed for her eyes here. She almost got home to Ballinger, which is a 4 or 5 hour drive from here. But before she got home, she could see perfect without glasses. And that's been months ago, maybe a year ago. And that little girl's still on fire for Jesus. Amen. See, that'll make you on fire for Jesus, won't it? See? But when you get healed, you know that what I'm teaching is the truth. If what I was teaching wasn't God's word, do you think he'd do all these miracles for us? Absolutely not. Not at all. But when we teach his word, he confirms his word with signs and miracles and wonders. He always does that for whoever. And then let's go to Mark 6, 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. He's teaching in the church, and many that are here today are astonished at what he's teaching. I never heard these things. Some of you have never heard some of the things I've talked about today. This is brand new to you, although you've been in church all of your life. And the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Verse 3 and 4. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Some people said, I came here expecting to see something supernatural, and you're a man like everybody else. Yeah, that's true. But if you're not offended at me and what I teach, what happens is what he does. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. Let me ask the question, how many people are here from Justin today? We got anybody here from Justin? Dave's up there waving his hands. Oh, he's from Argyle. Okay, he's Justin or Argyle. Now, isn't that amazing? Some of you drove from hours. Is that true? Some of you drove how many hours?
10.
Some of you drove hours. That's just like it was in Norway the other day. After the miracle started happening the third day and people started getting healed, and I started letting them tell their testimony on the television, the next night and the next night and the next day and the next night, I started having people come up for prayer and say, I drove 4 hours to get here for you to pray for me. I drove 6 hours. I drove 9 hours. I drove 10 hours from Sweden for you to pray for me. And I thought, here I'm a little country boy from Justin, and I teach every Sunday here and once a month here, and almost nobody from Justin ever comes.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Best Benefit Package is Jesus, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.